This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hey everyone and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. This is episode 130 and today I want to thank our sponsor, that is Second Harvest Curriculum. We're going to find out more about them in just a moment. Well everyone, today we're going to talk about the middle school years. So this is Homeschooling 101, the middle school years, and hopefully I'm going to be sharing some things with you to prevent you from making some of the mistakes that I made. I always laugh when I get emails from people that say, you know, you're so real and you're always admitting that you make mistakes. And I think if we're all truthful, pretty much all of us make mistakes from time to time, right? So it's just better to get it over with and be honest here. So I've homeschooled five kids. I started out in 1986, and that was really a hard decision for me because I come from a teaching background, and I thought I was going to be a principal of a school someday and change the world after, of course, I had all of these kids who absolutely loved me as a teacher. And so my aspirations were to make every child feel unique and to encourage them in their gifting. And I feel like God has given us all amazing gifts, and many times we don't even look at that. Well, needless to say, teaching elementary and then later I taught middle school, it was really not conducive to what I wanted to accomplish as an educator because, of course, I had a boss. And my boss was the principal of the school, and their boss was the school board, and so on and so forth. And so I never realized that these goals that I had for my students would later be transferred to my children. And even though I felt that way, I really had to struggle against what I felt like was the whole standard we as home educators, if we're honest with ourselves, put out there, that we, first of all, don't want to fail our kids. We want our kids to be, you know, wonderful, shining examples of what homeschooling can be. Secondly, we want to do as good a job or better than public or Christian education, you know, private schools. And thirdly, we second guess a lot of times what our decisions are because we look at what other people are doing and we get a lot of input from them. So even though I had some really strong opinions and ideas of what I wanted to teach for middle school years, I really had to struggle against what I thought, you know, was the best for my kids and kind of balance it where I felt that we were going with our homeschooling. And so, you know, for the younger years, there are some real considerations to take, you know, to consider. But a lot of what you're doing in the younger years really is very basic information. And so, you know, you're going to do your math, they're going to read, they're going to do language arts, they're going to write, they're going to read literature. They are going to maybe do some art and music. They're going to do science and history. For middle school, I really felt that it was important to start asking my children and looking at what their gifting is and how you could really nurture that. And I have a whole talk that I do on that topic. And part of that came from a son, my oldest, who struggled. And so I had to look at what is he good at? What where can he excel? Where can he fit in, you know, with his work skills someday? And so because of that, I looked at, you know, where we were heading. And so I knew with one child that it was more than likely going to be a vocational track. And at the same time, I had another child who was going into college and was going to be looking at the college track. And so because of that, I feel like one of the mistakes I made was that my child that was going into the vocational track was, he felt like he was a failure because he wasn't getting algebra. And so, whereas I would say, you know, that's really good and we can do some algebra, and I tried a lot of different curriculums, but I said, you know, it's important for you to be able to look at your finances and understand the loan process, or, you know, being debt-free, because we did a whole thing on that. And there are some things that I think are so important that you can do when they're younger, because in high school, especially if they're college bound, there has to be some prep going into high school where you're going to be looking at some things and, you know, preparing for what a school would accept, a college will accept. So, you know, there are some things to consider there. So I looked at that and I said, okay, I have this child who is headed on a vocational track. So I want to teach him some things, and I want to do, like we did a debt-free curriculum that worked out really well. We did a whole lot of stuff with just financials and knowing how to figure out your net worth and how to open up a checking account. And they had savings accounts, but I didn't really let my kids open up checking accounts until they got into high school. And so I have a story I really should share in the high school years, but I'll go ahead and share it here in the middle school years. And because we did so much of this ahead of time, my son was pretty prepared. And his cousin came to spend the summer with us, and he was thinking about a career in construction, and my husband's a contractor, so he came and spent the summer and worked with my husband because he was really thinking he had, he said he was going to be an engineer and that was his major, but the more he thought about the construction industry, he really considered changing his major to construction and construction management, which is actually what he does now. And so when he came to visit, it was amazing that my son was the one taking him to the bank to set up his account and helping him with all of that kind of stuff, because, you know, Neil had gotten so many years of that, whereas my nephew was doing higher math. He's actually very good in math. So sometimes, you know, it's those skills really come to the forefront, and it's not things that we think we need to teach, and then we wonder why so many people are in debt. So that's very important, managing those kinds of things. So we are going to take a really quick commercial break. And when we come back, I'm going to be talking about some things that we're going to be targeting in the middle school years. And I have a series of questions for you to ask yourself. And this will help you in planning for your middle schoolers. We'll be right back. Well, today I want to thank our sponsor, and that is Second Harvest Curriculum, and you can find them at usedhomeschoolbooks.com. I just love it when a .com makes sense, and so Harvest Curriculum carries a lot of used or gently used homeschool books, so if you go to usedhomeschoolbooks.com, you'll find their website there. And Second Harvest is owned and operated by Lori Power, and Lori Power used to homeschool her kids, and she's a graduated homeschool mom now. She's done with her homeschool journey, and I just love that Lori has poured herself back into the community by having this wonderful business. So Second Harvest is your source for quality used homeschool books, and they have over 40 publishers, including a lot of common names that you would probably know if I mentioned them, but there are too many to name. So all the books come with a 30-day return policy. And Second Harvest also buys gently used books from homeschool families and Christian schools. and you can find them on social media, and you can get all her social media links on this podcast, 130 on Vintage Homeschool Moms. Just look for Homeschooling 101, the middle school years. And best of all, if you have any questions, you can visit usedhomeschoolbooks.com or talk to Lori on the phone at 308-350-0335. And please tell Lori you heard about her on Vintage Homeschool Moms. And we want to thank all of our sponsors here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You keep us coming for free to all of our listeners. So we want to thank you for that. Well, we are talking today about homeschooling in the middle school years, and my name, as I shared earlier, is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. You can find all the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, podcast 130. All right, so one of the things you've done is you've prayerfully thought about where you're going next. This is the middle school years. That's great. Middle school is typically 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And so you are looking at these years and saying, gosh, we have plenty of time till high school. And people struggle with thinking, well, am I going to put them back into high school, you know, a public or private school? Am I going to continue to homeschool throughout my high school years? And so they tend to do what I feel is really a disservice to their children. And the reason I can say it so easily is because I did it too. What they're going to do, and I thought the same thing, is, well, we need to get them prepared because in case they go back to a traditional school, they're going to need, you know, X, Y, and Z to be prepared and not be so left behind in the ninth grade. And that is, you know, a very good way to think in some ways, and a very, a disservice, I guess, is a better word, to your children. And the reason is, during these years, we can really nurture a lot of creativity and love for different things that when you get into high school, you're going to say, we don't have enough time. I know a lot of kids are so busy with extracurricular things or some of the other activities and events that we seem to fill our days with. And so my, you know, the big joke is, oh, you homeschool so you can volunteer for this. Moms just say no. You homeschool so you have a full-time job, and your full-time job is taking care of your family, your home, and, you know, meals and clothes and all of that, plus homeschooling your children. So a lot of times we, me in particular, got overwhelmed because I had volunteered for too many things. So that's something, you know, that I know that a lot of you have learned, not to to do too many things, but also not to sign your kids up for so many things, because either they're playing sports 24/7, or they are involved in music lessons, or they are involved in church activities. And while all of these things are good, too many things are, I believe, a disservice, because I believe that kids need a block of time each day, especially when they're younger, to just explore things that they are interested in. When I gave my kids time to explore, it was amazing to me what kinds of things they liked. For example, my daughter Annie loved photography, and she would take pictures of these amazing bugs and things like that, so that when she got a little bit older, we ended up getting her a really nice digital 330, well, whatever it was. They used to have 30 millimeter cameras, but I don't even remember what the numbers were on it. But it was high intensity, and it had a long range adapter to it. And so she just loved it and took amazing pictures. Whereas Michael was really interested in doing some video. And on one of my, actually on a blog post, I convinced him to let me use his little stop motion video. And so he reluctantly allowed me to use it because he said it wasn't finished yet, and it wasn't. But I was just so amazed that he had done all this on his own, had researched how to do it, had worked with the lighting, had worked with, you know, the movie creator on his iPad. And one of the things that we do in our household is we do not give cell phones very early on, especially because we are the ones transporting our kids to different events. And I just don't want them to get involved in that kind of thing. So because we don't, we will give them things technology-wise, like Michael had an iPad, an iPad mini that he was able to use, and he learned how to use the movie maker, whatever that is, on the iPad, and do that kind of thing. When they were younger, they had the iPods. So again, they could do, you know, different kinds of techie things without having the phone as part of it. And so I was just amazed at how they blossomed and grew. Nicholas, on the other hand, and he's the third oldest in the family, he was really mechanically inclined. He started out with my Cuisinaire or KitchenAid, don't remember which one I had at the time, stand mixer, and I had stripped a gear right before Christmas, and he was able to replace that for $8, and yes, I paid the $11 overnight shipping to get it delivered, and I was back in business. And he jokingly said, you know, Mom, it only cost, you know, less than $20 for parts, but labor was $75. So that was a big joke between us, and no, I did not pay him $75. But I did bless him in a different way. So, you know, it was amazing to me that these kids were so different than their dad and I in so many, let's just say in gifting, in areas that I don't think we would have been able to explore if we had not had that block of time. All right. So having said that, that's my big piece of advice to you that I don't feel like I did as much with the first two, although Christina started writing the novels with me when she was 12. So she was, you know, really interested in storytelling and writing, and then that came to be more so when she was, you know, 14. So started around 12, but really didn't, you know, we didn't get her our books published until she was 16. So she had a couple of years to develop there, but that was more in the high school years. And I'll talk more about that when I talk about homeschooling 101 in the high school years. Okay, so one of the important things, one of the questions to ask is, and I'm just going to recap here because I've talked about a lot of things. Number one, where are you headed? Are you going to be doing a vocational track or a college track? Which one is it? Number two, what are your children's giftings? How can you figure that out? And the biggest way I can tell you, the best way for me was to give them blocks of time to do things that were creative. And that didn't necessarily mean, just being on, playing a game or something like that. The third thing is to look at your methodology. How are you going to teach in your middle school years? Maybe you were very hands-on in your elementary years, and you feel like your kids have outgrown that. My kids outgrew a very hands-on method, which is something I love to teach. Probably end of middle school, they still were doing a lot of hands-on types of things in the sixth grade, but by seventh and eighth grade, I have to say we were mostly on, which is the next part I'll talk about, doing some video classes and some other things. But you have to look at your method. So is it textbooks and workbooks? Is it Charlotte Mason? Is it classical? Is it unit studies, eclectic, or unschooling? Let's look at that and decide, you know, what method are you going to use? And I will put some links in here to other podcasts that I have done on that topic to explain more about different methods of homeschooling. Number four is curriculum. What are you going to use? You know, our sponsor is a great resource at usedhomeschoolbooks.com to look at some of the curriculum there. But what are you going to be using this year? Are you going to be using a Christian or a secular type of book? Is it going to be a workbook textbook? Is it going to be a mixture of workbooks and textbooks and maybe some unit studies? Are you going to do some online classes or some web-based classes? Are you going to be doing video class or which is web-based? Or maybe, a class on DVD? There's a company that does a lot of DVD types of books and or classes that are very good. We did several classes. I have some creation science classes that are great through middle school, creation science, creation anatomy, and then creation astronomy. I'm hoping someday to get some time where I can record the creation geology to go along with our creation geology book. Those are 6 weeks classes that come with a lot of activities additional from our books, and that's one of the reasons I haven't done the geology yet, because it takes quite a bit of time to put these classes together. Also, I have wonderful program, and the reason I have this program is I called up my brother-in-law when my kids were in some, well, Michael was still in middle school and the other two were heading to high school ages. And I asked him to teach a government class so they could get a credit in government. And he taught a government and elections class as a combination. And then also an American history class, because he was American History Professor of the Year. And you can find information about those on MediaAngels.com. And again, those were wonderful classes. And my kids, I'll tell you how wonderful they are. The two youngest are considering teaching either high school or college level history classes. They both love history. And if you ask them, what is your favorite subject, irregardless of the fact that their mom wrote creation science curriculum, they will say it is history. Okay, so all in letting them explore their options and what is their gifting. Oh, gosh. And then the other is number five is what are your kids thinking about doing? And I have this under a category of vocation, but it's not necessarily vocational school. Many times in high school, and again, I'll probably talk about it in the next podcast, kids will go and shadow a profession, which I think is probably one of the best ways to rule out possibilities of what your kids really like to do. For example, a friend of ours thought for sure he was going to go into the medical field. And so, it's a young boy. And so, I had a friend who was an orthopedic surgeon. And so, he shadowed him. After a half a day, he decided, no, that wasn't in the cards for him. He just did not like, did not think that that would be a good thing to do. And so, yeah, he was just not interested in it. So we tend to have our kids do that in high school, and we're so strapped for time in high school. One of the things that I would highly recommend you do is find people that you know. You can start at church. You know, who's a doctor? Who's a lawyer? Who's a contractor? Is there somebody in retail? Is there, under the contracting, there are the trades, plumbing, electrician, AC person. My son was thinking about being a mechanic. Well, it only took a visit to a friend of mine who managed a diesel mechanic shop, because, there's those great TV shows that show these luxurious lives of the rich and famous and the diesel mechanics. And it just took visiting the shop. He didn't even want to go and work there for him to decide that, no, he didn't want to do it. Now, I will tell you, this child is probably one of the best mechanics I know. Recently, my husband took his diesel truck. He ended up to a mechanics, and he ended up towing it home, and my son repaired it. Now, my son has repaired this truck three different times, and I'm trying to convince my husband to get rid of this truck, but it is an antique, so he doesn't want to. Thank God for Nick is all I can say, or we would not be able to keep this truck, because our bills to repair these things would be astronomical. So, he still was able to acquire a skill while he homeschooled. However, he decided he didn't want to do that for a business. And Nick opted to start working instead of going to college. And he's actually going to be working. He is working with my husband, who is a contractor, and will eventually take over that business or have his own business. He's very, very good. So that's number five. Number six, ACT and SAT prep. Yes, I'm talking about this in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. Why? Because I co-host a show with College Prep Genius and collegeprepgenius.com/podcast. And Jean Burke has really shown me that I gave, you know, here's a mistake, or maybe you want to consider it a disservice to my children, not to start the prep a little bit earlier. Because when they finally were old enough to take the test, and this is my fourth child, you know, they basically had to cram for it in the summer, and it wasn't any fun, especially as both of them, both were playing travel, and my daughter played on an all-star team. So, you know, when you're doing all of this stuff, and then you also have to make it a job, because basically it is a little bit of a job to study for the SAT test, is what we preferred. And so because of that, it was, you know, very difficult. Whereas Michael started much younger than Anne did. He started when he was 13, I believe. And so he's had a few years now. So now that he's in, going to be in 11th grade, and he is going to take his PSATs, and he's already taken them, you know, he is more confident. Even though they've changed the test, it's fine. You know, Jean has us covered, and so she's explained what the differences are, and we're prepared. So that's something I want to throw out there. And then the last thing are co-ops. And I didn't mention them earlier because they change so much. And there are co-ops that almost could be high school or middle school or high school classes, because they're three times a week. Some co-ops are one time a week. Some co-ops are one time a month. There is a show that is no longer, has no new shows, but it is definitely still on this network. And it was Homeschooling Co-ops. And I will put the link on VintageHomeschoolMoms.com, episode 130, for you to get that, because I think that Pat did a really good job on explaining co-ops and some of the benefits of it. Some people absolutely love them. I personally got burnt out of co-ops by the time my kids were in middle school. We had done so many different things. We did mostly at the home-based co-ops, and to me it was an awful lot of work. And so I take that back. I think Nicholas was in a co-op because I taught the high school level biology class. And so, you know, it when you're preparing biology for a class, you know, even if it's a co-op class, you're going to do it a little bit different than you're going to do if you're homeschooled. And so for me, it was an awful lot of work. So you have to look at what your options are and see how you can best serve your children. And so, you know, again, just to recap, number one, where are you headed? Are your kids going to vocational school or college? Number two, what is their gifting? Number three, what kind of method are you going to use, which will help you determine? Number four, what curriculum you're going to use? And number five, I would say, I called it vocation, but you could call it shadowing, or, you know, just visiting, even doing it as a field trip, you know, different professions, and just seeing, you know, really firsthand, what is it that they do? And number six is SAT, ACT, and prep for that. Number seven is co-ops. So hopefully that will give you an idea of what you can look at for middle school and get really ahead of the game when it comes time for high school. Hey, listen, everybody, God bless. Thanks again to Lori, who has been such an amazing blessing, Lori Power, with Second Harvest Curriculum at usedhomeschoolbooks.com for being our sponsor today. So thanks again. I will see you next week at Vintage Homeschool Moms. Take care and God bless.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.